Well, I've been scouring social media and the phone has come up again as a device that can often get you into trouble if you don't manage it properly. And this is a story about a wife's astonishment as she stumbles upon her husband's very sexually charged iPhone contact list. So she's got his phone, gone through his contact list, and he has listed what is clearly past girlfriends or relationships he's had with women under certain names. Do you want to run through the names, MG?
Oh, really? Okay. Crystal Maid Big Ass, Laura Insta Big Ass. It's something about big asses.
He's got this guy's got a thing about big asses.
Massive Ass Pretty Face, Deaf But Sexy Girl.
Massive Ass Turkey.
Yep. New misses for sure.
This is obviously so he can remember who they were, what they were, yep, instead of their names, which can be not ringing any bells. But if you go, you know, like if it was Tash, it would be Chatty Milf from Northern Suburbs. You know what I'm saying?
If it was Kat, we'd say that Brand Hill girl from Redford with the spa.
Spa chick. Brunette spa chick.
Yep.
My better half has saved me in his phone as Joy. Because that's my middle name.
Oh, my goodness.
He doesn't answer my calls.
I'm sure I've been saved out there by many girls as Hottie with Massive Wang.
Cute little hairy. That's what you'd be. You're in my phone.
Hey.
Cuddly.
Cute little hairy.
Okay, girls, you know what? This started off as a bit of fun. And now
until someone gets hurt.
Cuddly but needy.
Okay, turn their mics off, please. This is completely out of hand.
This man's got no respect.
Beautiful.
Come on,
little
girls.
Snail trail.
Hey.
Hairy, needy, but fun.
Yeah. Right,
funny,
girls.
Cute guy.
In his office. Go. In his office.
See me in my office now.
Cute where, little
wherever
big
that
calves.
Is. Right, okay.
Cute little big calves.
No, that's my Dances with Wolves name. Little big calves.
Mal-
right, we're done. Yeah.
Cute and grumpy. Man with the Negroni.
Okay, you've had it. You're done here. Stop it. Stop.
Break of the year.
All right. Go to a song.
Is that cathartic, girls?
Go to a song. Now.
Stop it,
Chris. They went in their pants.
I needed a pen pad.
It's time to go back to the courts, really, and we'll talk about crime. In this state, yesterday, we talked about the Queensland woman who ran over her husband and his lover and got off scot-free. We're still digesting all that. Well, speaking of digesting, someone out there is trying to digest bin chicken. Allegedly, I should point out. With this news story caught my attention last night. I'm still getting used to Sydney and how it operates, but this is how this story was reported on the news.
A Sydney man accused of catching and cooking an ibis has been freed on bail under strict conditions. A magistrate telling the Vietnamese national the ibis, often called a bin chicken, is protected and not for eating.
Where others see an ugly menace, Tom Quash saw a tasty meal.
How many bin chickens did you kill?
One.
Only one?
Yeah.
Why did you kill it?
Try to eat it.
The 60-year-old was arrested yesterday after officers allegedly found a dead ibis in his Malabar unit. Neighbours raising the alarm after hearing the bin chicken in distress.
Did it taste any good?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
He might not have eaten it.
How are you going to cook it?
I just boil it up with fish sauce, something like that.
Today, Quash was granted bail on the condition he leave ibis and all birds alone.
He needs to be a guest chef on MasterChef because that episode... The bin chicken episode will go down as one of the greats. I don't know. How would you have your bin chicken? Bin lemon chicken?
Yeah.
Or bin chicken burger.
Bin chicken burger. Oh, that sounds good.
Ibis LaRange.
Yeah. Ibis LaRange.
I feel like bin chicken tonight. Bin chicken tonight. Please. Like mine in a bucket, a big bucket. It'd have to be bigger than your normal chicken, wouldn't it?
The beak would be hard to digest.
Like the colonel's turning in his grave.
Oh, isn't he?
No, I'm surprised he wasn't called as a witness.
You know where, Your Honour, I declare that Ibis, she's not my KFC.
The Ben chicken is not finger-licking good. I repeat, not finger-licking good. Now get that man a moist towel out and get him out of my sight. And the satellite's in place as we go to LA live to join the great Jim Jefferies, friend of the show. How are you, Jim? You're home, LA.
Hello, lads. Thanks for having me. I'm home. I just got home. I was just on tour. I just did a gig in Iceland.
How did that go?
Well, it's a country of 300,000 people, so the people who stay there are kind of weird. Like, imagine if Dubbo was a country. You know what I mean? Like, it's... the people there are very odd, and there's no... Yeah. The sun doesn't go down in summer, and then the sun doesn't come up for, like, 6 months in winter. So it was just like the sun coming through. And they didn't have blackout curtains, and I went down to reception, I was like, there's no blackout curtains. And they were like, yes, we have heard this complaint before. And then the guy made a joke. He goes, here in Iceland, if you want it to be dark, we have this trick. Shut your eyes. Piss off, you idiot.
I like it a lot. So Iceland, it's the type of country, you know, some countries have strong suits. Like when you think of Miss Universe, you think of Venezuela. Or if you think of long distance running, you think of Kenya. I think of Iceland and I think of Eurovision Song Contest. They're the type of country that can come from way back to win that thing.
Well, you're thinking of the movie Eurovision that was based in Iceland, which was almost a documentary. but I was meant to perform in Tel Aviv, and they cancelled the gigs in Israel because of acts of war. And they said, how about, like, the government cancelled it. They said I couldn't come in because of acts of war. And they said, how about we reschedule it for 10 days' time? And I was like, you reckon you'll have that Palestine thing figured out by then? You reckon you'll be all good in 10 days? You're like, you're close, are you?
So in 20 countries with 22 shows, like, which ones are the most receptive to your type of humour? Which ones do you go, I can't wait to get back there?
About once a year I do a show in Amsterdam or Rotterdam. Like, the Dutch are very good. Like, their English is very good. The Germans are remarkable. I've got about a 15-minute routine on Hitler right now, and they were lapping it up. You think they would have gone the other way.
Because they don't have a strong history in comedy, do they? There's no real culture of stand-up or sketch comedy coming from the Germans, is there?
No. They're a serious bunch. I'll tell you where you can't perform. No one. The French don't want English speaking comedy. What? They don't want us to even come. Every other country like welcomes you, and the French is like, we don't want to hear you with your English language and all that. Like, I know Eddie Izzard went over there and performed in French, but they have no want for English speaking comedy. They want to watch mimes and people on a unicycle with a top hat or some shit.
Their sense of humour, if you've ever seen a Jacques Tati film, it misses the mark for me. Or, as you say, they don't want to hear it in any language. A mime is what they consider to be hilarious.
The height of entertainment. That's a big thing.
I don't get it. Well, speaking of the heights of entertainment, congratulations on the 1% Club with Jim Jefferies, which has gone bonkers on the Seven Network, so much so it's been moved to Monday primetime at 7:30. It's a ratings smash. I've been enjoying it. I enjoy getting a mention in one episode. Do you remember that? You gave me a bit of a shout-out.
Did I mention you?
Yes, you did. One of the questions was the answer was about someone with the same initials as first name or last name. And then you were talking about comedians, and you mentioned Jim Jefferies. And then you went, or could it be Mick Molloy? And I was sitting at home with my two boys, who are 10 years old. They're falling off the couch. They thought it was some kind of magic.
That's right. It was a question about alliterated names. That's the only reason you got to mention alliterated names.
I know. But my favourite episode, and it's so good, and I've got to say, I bite on it. I just sit there and try and work out. Oh, I'm usually knocked out at about the 60% mark, let's be honest. I'm not a giant in that department.
I get knocked out at about the 30% mark, and I know the answers. I'm serious. Towards the end of the show, I sort of forget. I go, what was the answer to that? And then I'm always trying to figure out the questions as well. And sometimes I'll read out an answer and I still don't get it. I'm still like, I don't really know what's going on. Early on in the show, I asked if my dad could be on an episode. And they said, oh, no, no, it's a conflict of interest. Your dad can't be on the episode. And I said, I tell you what, if my dad wins, I'll pay the money out of my own cash. I'm that confident that this bloke won't get past two or three questions. And my dad rang me up today and he goes, I go, how are you going, Dad? He goes, I just watched the episode. He goes, I got one right this week. Pretty good for me. One
right. He's proud. I watched one the other night and it made me laugh because you kind of snookered yourself because you had one where there were about 10 people still in it for the last question and then they all went out and at the same time. So you had the unenviable task of still trying to put a positive on it. Like normally someone sneaks through, but there was, you go, there's 10 people here. Someone's going to get through. The whole lot of them gone. And you're going, oh, well, you can't all be. she tried to end the episode on a high after everyone had been shown the door, which I thought was a testimony to you.
That episode took the longest to record because they'd only ever thought that five people could get to the end. So there's a setup for five people to stand on the stage with all the stands and all that other stuff. Yeah. And they never foresaw that 10 people could get through. And there was a whole committee meeting afterwards, like, do we have them all stand on the stage and then the end, just leave them in their seats in the front row.
So no, I liked it a lot. Just like no one foresaw the show you're taking over on Monday, the balloon show, that was going to be a hit.
Oh, that's what happened. Channel 7 had a show about balloons, and they can't figure out why it didn't work out. I don't know either. But, I'm replacing the balloon slot.
Yeah, the balloon animal, I think, is... the poodle. They should have persevered with it, you know. Once you've done the poodle and the giraffe, you're kind of done, aren't you?
I tell you what, when he was like 2 and 3 and all that type of stuff, there was this guy who was a balloon artist who I used to get to come over to the house for birthday parties, and he'd go like this, and I said I saw a guy at Universal Studios who was doing balloons. And he goes, do you have blonde hair like a mohawk type of thing? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I've twisted with him before. That's one of the terms that they use. He goes, yeah, I've twisted with him before. And then he goes, but then this guy, all the Hollywood mums were coming over, and he was working his magic. He was balloon twisting. Here's another flower for you, my love. And all that time, he was giving them all flower roses.
No, I'd like to see a Chinese spy balloon that was a balloon animal. Wouldn't that be great? A giant dog floating over American airspace.
This is the thing is, I've never worked in the spy business, but I've always been led to believe that you get in there as covertly as possible, you get the information, then you piss off without anyone noticing. Yes. I'm not worried about China anymore because China's using balloon technology. They've decided to use the slowest moving, largest vehicle ever made to take spy photos to hang That's over right. America for about 4 or 5. I watched a lot of spy movies in my day. I've never seen James Bond get into a wicker basket.
It's been like the French using the guy from the Yoplait balloon. Oh, look out. Here he comes. Where's the fun in that? Hey, I was watching you on Instagram. I follow you on Instagram, of course, and you've just posted a very homoerotic shot of you with about 10 mates topless in some kind of fjord. Was that Iceland?
Iceland. All you get to do in Iceland is there's hot springs that you can stand in, and it's all warm, and they're very excited. So we went to this one place. It was hot springs, and so that's me and all the promoters and the other comics and all that type of stuff. Good-looking bunch. We've all gone down to the hot spring, and it's meant to be relaxing. There's 7 steps you have to do. So the first thing is you get in the hot tub area, the hot spring. Then you have to do a cold plunge, which is agony. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got to get out of that, get into a sauna. Then you've got to get out of that and rub salt into your body. Then you've got to get out of that and get into a steam room. Then you've got to have a shower. Then you've got to get back into the hot. And you're meant to do that 2 times. Not very relaxing. It's like, I'll tell you what, that Wim Hof or Will Hof or whatever his name is.
He's got a lot to answer for.
Yeah, he can live as long as he bloody wants, mate. I'd rather be warm and live a shorter life than being cold. Hey, I want to speak out about a tragedy that happened, but Tina Turner.
Yes.
Tina Turner. I'd like to put me best foot forward, and I'd like to throw me hat in the ring to sing Simply the Best for the NRL, just as a dedication for her. If they need a new ad campaign. Mark, did you ever get to hold her or anything? Because there was always adverts with...
I spoke about it yesterday, Jimmy, that I was in the 89 advert, and then I got to meet her in 93 when she sang at the Winfield Cup Grand Final.
I was a big fan.
But you're back in LA. What are you doing there? Are you good to be home? Are you just hanging around the house?
I'm hanging around the house for a little bit, and then I'm going to go off. I've got a holiday. I'm going to Hawaii for a couple of weeks with the family. But before that, I just went to my kid's school concert. That's always fun.
So okay. Has he got an instrument? Or?
Trumpet? Yeah, trumpet. It's either that or bloody drums. You've got to make your choice in life.
Does the trumpet? Has he got the Louis Armstrong cheeks? Does he get that? You know, the puff out when he's knocking out a tune.
I don't think he's that good yet to be the puffy cheeks, but he's giving it a go. And that we saw they had choirs there and all that type of stuff. All the celebrity parents were there. And you think the concert would be a bit better, to be honest with you.
with all that entertaining pedigree in the house,
you think something would come up.
Hey, and you mentioned you're off to Hawaii. I love Hawaii because in Hawaii, I'm a medium to small.
Yes.
It's one of the... Because everyone else... I'm like a supermodel in Hawaii. It's just the scale of that place is so good that someone of my carriage is all of a sudden very lithe, slim and athletic.
You are.
My favourite moment was watching the 6 o'clock news, their primetime news, and the newsreader was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, like, and that's when I went, this place is for me.
The Hawaiian shirts, they're no messing around. People just, that's what you wear to weddings.
That's it.
That's what you wear to funerals. That's what you wear to the work. Everybody wears, politicians wear them in parliament and stuff there.
In an open casket. You're wearing an Hawaiian shirt.
I have a mate who lives out in Hawaii, and he's off that TV show, Magnum. He's off that. He's an actor from LA, and he moved out there, and he's been out there for like 5 seasons. And he reckons he hasn't put shoes on in years.
Yeah.
Like, he's just wearing thongs all the time. Like, it's such a good life out there. I'd love to live out there.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know how it came up, but I thought if you could choose your own way of dying, how would you like to die? And I was thinking about Elvis on the dunny and all that. Yeah, but in the end, what I settled on was being hit on the head by a coconut, because it basically means that you're in a great place in the world. You're probably on a hammock. You're underneath a palm tree. I mean, you wouldn't see it coming. Can anyone top getting hit on the head with a coconut as a way to go? I doubt it.
Yeah, but do you reckon it would be blunt force, like bang dead, or do you reckon you'd be in a bit of a state in hospital for months and months from your coconut related injury?
With a bit of a twitch in the coconut ward.
Over in the coconut ward.
Nurse Smith,
they go, we should probably put a roof on this.
Mate, the coconut, more people die from being hit on there with they're just coming from about 40 feet. But a coconut will take you out from 40 feet.
I understand how. Do you know why there's palm trees in LA? This is a little bit of an LA fun fact.
Yeah.
There weren't any palm trees in LA until the Olympics, and they did it to spruce the place up. And every Olympics they've had here since, they put more palm trees in.
Wow. So there you go. There you go. Rodeo.
But there's no. I got one in my backyard. There's no coconuts in them.
No.
They're coconut free.
They're cocos.
That should be a question. On the 1% Club. Mate, thank you. We've covered a bit of ground today. Great to have you back on the program. We've missed you.
Yes, we have.
But we've been watching you on Channel 7 and the 1% Club. It's a great show. Well done. Thanks for and enjoy LA. I'll be over there shortly. I might come and throw stones at your window.
When are you going to be here?
I think it's the last week in June. Last week in
June. You know
June,
what I'll do? So. I'll throw a coconut at you in a car park. So everyone will assume that you're in a tropical place, but you're just in a Ralph's car park and you got hit in the head with a bloody coconut. I'll see you in June, man.
See you, Jimmy.
Time to talk aliens. Now, we've done this before on the show. You told me, MG, on air that you've encountered an alien.
Oh, UFO. What happened? I saw a UFO.
You saw a UFO when? Where?
It was in 1994. I was on a way to a function. It was at about 11:30 in the morning. I was heading west, and there was a UFO. This light was in the sky, and all of a sudden it just went whoosh, and it went. And I went, there you go. I saw extraterrestrial activity.
And you're convinced it was? What did it look like?
And I was sober.
What did it look like?
It looked like a star. And then it got closer and it was brighter. Then all of a sudden it just went, it vanished. It went like as fast as the speed of light. It just went.
Sure wasn't a frisbee or something? Or... you convinced? Sure wasn't someone chucking a garbage bin lid in the air that caught your attention? No, you did seem fairly convinced. You're adamant. Yes. And I tell you what, you may well be right. So a Stanford professor called Gary Nolan, well-respected professor at a very respectable university, says aliens are 100% living amongst us. So he's a professor at Stanford. He's researched unidentified aerial phenomenon for the US government and says he believes extraterrestrial intelligence has not only visited Earth, but it's been here a long time and is still here.
Oh, yeah.
He said this recently at a conference. There are aliens living amongst us. Right. Who are they? 133353. I want to know right now. Can you think of someone you've seen who might be an Elon Musk?
Yes.
I'm going to go Elon Musk straight off the bat. Big time. I reckon if you tell me who out of everyone you've seen doing the rounds, I would go with that guy. He's not quite right.
Joe Biden's an alien.
Joe Biden, one of those big foreign aliens, you know, like the ones with the Martians.
Yes.
Aliens.
Peter Garrett. Peter Garrett.
The dancing, yeah.
Oh, he could be.
Like a malfunctioning alien. Koshy? What about Koshy?
Without a doubt.
Koshy's an alien.
Mm. Yeah.
Koshy's been controlled, mind controlled by the cash cow.
Who is also an alien?
Dr. Harry Cooper.
Dr. Harry Cooper.
There's nothing but electronic boards under that cap. You get the idea. 133353. We want to know. Aliens are living amongst us. Who are they? Out them. Let us know. Greg's on the line. Greg, alien sighting. Who is it?
You.
Beg your pardon?
You. Mick Malloy.
How dare you. I'll have you. I'm giving you a mind meld right now.
See him in his office, Greg. Go to his office, mate.
Do you know what I'm doing right now? I'm doing that Darth Vader style thing where I'm choking you, lifting you off the ground, and throwing you backwards into a wall.
But seriously, MG, your UFO sighting could have been a phenomenon known as ball lightning.
As what?
Ball lightning.
We might have to trace this call.
Hopefully it's not coming from within the building. The only alien I look like a little bit is E.T. because of the pot belly. Okay? Yeah. E.T. had a little pot belly.
What about Alf?
You know what, MG? That's a yellow card from you. It's a yellow card.
Greg, you're on the.
You're laughing a little too hard at that cat, too, by the way.
It's just rung a little bit.
Hang on a second. What are you saying, MG? What? I look like Alf.
No, you got the character. You know, you're gruff. You're funny.
Cheerful fellow.
You're cheerful. Yeah.
From another planet.
You are definitely from another planet, I think.
Thin ice, everybody. Very thin ice. Haley's on the line. Who's the alien, Haley?
I've got Mark Zuckerberg and Joe Biden.
God, Zuckerberg,
sure,
definitely.
We've already mentioned Biden. We'll go with Mark Zuckerberg. That guy is an alien.
He's always up to just weird shit. Like, he was have a look at the pictures of him. He was in court. He looks the way he looks. He's just a weird guy.
Yeah.
He's a weird guy. Did you see him doing jiu-jitsu the other day?
Against the crash test dummy.
against the crash test dummy. Basically wrestled a guy who I'm sure got a raise at Facebook after that display.
Hey,
it's like when my dog goes a rag doll, you know?
Yes.
That was, jeez. All right, yes, I'll take that on board. By the way, Haley has all the hallmarks of being a Stanford professor with her analysis there. Jim's on the line. Jim, who's the alien?
Hey, guys, good show, great morning. It must be Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy.
Donald Trump's hair could be contacting people on other planets. Yeah. You know, they could be communicating.
It's a receiver.
Like a satellite dish.
Yes.
His hair is taking calls from other galaxies as we speak. Well done, Jim. Rod's on the line. Rod, who's the alien living amongst us?
It's Peter Dutton. You look at that head and tell me it's real.
Yeah.
That head could orbit a planet.
Yeah.
Could be. That head is sending messages somewhere. I like it. It's I like it when we're on the dark side of Peter Dutton's head. Well done. Let's go to Darren. Darren, who is the alien, please?
Okay, good morning all. Barnaby Joyce.
Oh, yes.
Barnaby Joyce.
And his mate that wears the hat, I can't remember his name, the other politician.
Bob Catter.
Bob Catter.
That's him.
Bob Catter. Him and Bob Catter. I think here's some evidence that Bob Catter's an alien.
I mean, let there be 1,000 blossoms bloom as far as I'm concerned. But I ain't spending any time on it because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
That's a signal. That is, he's sending signals to Barnaby Joyce and life on other planets. the two blokes with the headgear. I like it. Time for one more. Max. Max, alien life, what's the evidence?
NRL bunker.
you reckon it's like a control centre for
alien... No idea, you're exactly right.
That's home base.
And, hey, go the Penny Panthers, MG.
Go on your Maxie boy.
Hey, Mick. Bondi.
Go on your brother.
Max and MG are making contact right
Mick,
now.
Mick, can I tell you once that I accidentally sent a rude text message to Barnaby Joyce?
What?
Did you? What did you do? By accident?
One of my mates called Bass, B-A-S-S, sent me a video, and it was kind of, like a pool table, and it was, I'll leave it to your imaginations. And I read the reply back to him, and I accidentally sent the video to my next contact under Bass, which was Barnaby. And I said, oh, shit, I've just sent that to Barnaby Joyce.
And said, what did Barnaby say?
And about 10 seconds later, he said, interesting.
What?
It's another wonderful week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney. Some bootleg Bluey episodes have been causing a bit of kerfuffle with parents.
Here's some of the new episodes. One where Bluey turns up and he's got the lipstick out. You know, and I go, well, hang on, the kids don't need to see.
No, that's natural, but come on.
Had a particularly frightening episode where Bluey gets put down. And, the kids... kids don't need to see it. And another one, which is actually a bit of a tearjerker, when Bluey goes to the dog fights.
Oh!
And...
seagulls have been stealing drugs from drug dealers.
Now it makes sense that seagull... I saw at Bondi Beach last week eating the cheese balls. Makes all sense. He's had the munchies.
He got the munchies. Exactly right. That's why you see so many seagulls with one leg. They've had their legs broken. Because they owe money.
MG was a part of one of the world's worst cricket teams at school.
We were rolled for three. We got out for three wins.
But the whole team?
And two of them were boys, and there was nine ducks.
And who was the top scorer?
Someone got one.
One bloke with one.
And Mick's school cricket team was pretty hopeless as well, so they resorted to other tactics.
We were driving to the ground. The coach had like a people mover, and I had about eight kids in it, nine in a team in it. Anyway, it broke down. Right? right, so on the way to the ground, the cops in a paddy wagon came past and said, what's going on? They said, we're running late. So they put all the kids in the back of the paddy wagon. So when we pulled up to the ground, the other team is on the ground and the door's open and then 8 of us get out of the back of a paddy wagon. The other team shat themselves and the rest is history.
Tash had a particularly brutal tackling technique.
I've also, to stop a guy scoring a try, I've sat on him.
That's a trip to the judiciary as far as I'm concerned. Let's go to the bunker on that one.
MG revealed that he'd sent a rude text to Barnaby Joyce.
One of my mates called Bass. Sent me a video and it was kind of, you know, like my pool table and it was, I'll leave it to your imaginations. And I read the reply back to him and I accidentally sent the video to my next contact under Bass, which was Barnaby. And I said, oh, shit, I've just sent that to Barnaby Joyce.
And said, what did Barnaby say?
And about 10 seconds later, he said, interesting.
What?
Pauline Hanson is knitting sweaters to fund her racial discrimination defence.
And why does someone in North Queensland spend so much time knitting jackets? Like, is she mad? And this is my greater fear. She's going to go the OnlyFans route.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, Pauline Hanson, MG, you're all for it.
What would you subscribe?
If she was wearing nothing but her knit cardigan.
And the team shared what we have saved each other as in our phones.
You know, like if it was Tash, it would be Chatty Milf from Northern Suburbs. I'm sure I've been saved out there by many girls as Hottie with Massive Wang.
Cute little Harry. That's what you've been. You're in my phone.
Hey.
Cuddly.
Cute little Harry.
Okay, girls, you know what? This started off as a bit of fun. And now
until someone gets hurt.
Hairy, needy, but fun.
Oh, yeah. Right,
funny,
girls.
Cute guy.
So, in his office. Go. In his office.
See me in my office now.
Cute little big cups.
Right, okay. No, that's my Dances with Wolves name. Little big calves.
Man with the Negroni.
Okay, you've had it. You're done here. Stop it. Stop.
There it is, another week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick and MG in the Morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.